This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
We are less than 1 hour away from NBA free agency, and this is the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. 5 o'clock also means, 1 hour from free agency, that's just today. Every day, it's not my beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
So with today being the start of NBA free agency, that is our top story. The other top story is the Steelers trade involving Jalen Ramsey and Minkah Fitzpatrick. We'll talk about that at 6 o'clock with Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. But we are lucky enough that with Anthony out, Ben Strober is not only producing for us today, but he is the co-host of the Locked On Wizards podcast. So Ben and I are going to be today's Not My Beat participants here. Normally we have someone else on, Ben, but like, why do that when we can do it ourselves, you know?
Let's do it.
All right, so let's preview Wizards free agency here. So we'll also get some help from Bobby Marks because he does a really good comprehensive preview. Or like, I wouldn't say comprehensive. He does a really good high-level preview for every team. And so ESPN.com is where I can get you the facts and figures. And so I'll lay this out. And then, Ben, I'm curious, once I lay this kind of baseline where we are out, where you think the Wizards go in free agency. The Wizards currently are over the cap, which in the NBA is a soft cap. There are multiple lines. There is the soft salary cap. There is the luxury tax number. So if you go over that number, your owner has to pay more in cash. There is now the first apron and the second apron. And those two numbers, if you hit them, there are certain roster restrictions that get in place. And if you do it repeatedly, there are certain penalties, including if you're over the second apron a certain number of years in a row, you can actually have your draft picks frozen. So like, there's real restrictions there. There's a reason teams are running away from that. The Wizards currently are $13 million below the tax line. They are $18 million below the first apron line. So they have $18 million there, but the Wizards intend to use more than 100% of the expanded traded player exemption in the CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, Jordan Poole deal. So they are hard capped at the first apron. Whatever that means, this is why Bobby Marks is Bobby Marks. So that is where they are. They cannot really go out and sign a free agent except for using exceptions. So like, they will have some kind of mid-level, the taxpayer mid-level exception, but they will not be able to just be say, hey, like, we have cap space. Obviously, next year, as we know, as a result of the Poole trade, they have a ton of cap space. the only team in the NBA, for whatever it's worth this year, that has cap space is the Brooklyn Nets. They are literally the only team that is under the actual salary cap. It is also not a very good free agent class. There are no real stars. The big moves that are going to happen are probably going to be sign and trade type of deals. So teams will re-sign their own player on the condition that they are immediately trading them. That allows for some maneuverability. So with all that background, Ben, when you look at this free agency time for the Wizards, what's kind of your number one thing you're looking for?
I think they need to find somebody that can play in the front court a little bit alongside Alex Saar. I think a veteran presence would be nice because obviously the Wizards did not address the big man position in this NBA draft. And I know a lot of people have made a lot of hubbub over that, saying, if you're the Wizards, why would you not trade up back in the first round to get a big man of the future? Or why would you not take one at 18? You had a guy like Ace Newell who's available, and the Wizards elect to trade back three spots, and they get Will Riley, another wing player. To me, this almost seems strategic for the Wizards. That's something I talked about on this morning's episode of Locked On Wizards. It's very obvious that the Wizards obviously are going to be bad this year. That is part of their plan. They need to have that top eight protected pick. So one more year of losing is in the cards for the Wizards. By not addressing the big man position, as it stands right now, if the Wizards do not add a veteran presence in the front court alongside Alex Saar, you might be looking at a guy like Tristan Vucevic if they're able to re-sign him. He's a restricted free agent right now, so teams can offer him money. The Wizards can match that or pay more to bring him back. I think you see an expanded role for a guy like him. But possible targets, you could get a guy like Luke Kornet, Clint Capela, Kevon Looney. I think those are guys that would be A-plus veterans to bring in alongside Alex Saar. The Wizards are going to struggle on the glass a lot next year, and that's going to lead to losing a lot of games because Alex Saar, as we know, he became a lot more talented around the perimeter as the year went on. But as a seven-footer, he is not a very good rebounder. And that's why a lot of people were so polarized about the proponent of getting a guy like Kemon Mollywach in this draft. Say, why are you going to have 2 7-footers that don't rebound very well? And there's some truth to that. It makes a little bit of sense to me. I think you could get a guy that will help you out on the glass, but also be someone to teach maybe more of the tricks of the trade here for Alex Saar. They're not going to look to add anyone that's going to create impact and generate wins for him.
Right. Like, there is a threat. Like, when you're tanking, if we're going to use that term, right? When you're focused on player development and not worried about the results of the winning in the meantime, there is still a level you want to play at that allows their players to actually develop. Like, if you're just out there getting your butt kicked every night and you have no institutional knowledge, no know-how on the court, you are not actually going to do anything but develop bad habits. Players are going to get desperate. They're going to try to do stuff outside the system. They're going to not play the game the right way. And in the long term, they're just going to develop bad habits and they're not actually going to do the things that you want to do. So getting, you know, if you have nobody that can rebound, then you got a problem because you're not going to have the possessions you want. Guys are going to get demoralized. The games are not going to flow in the way that you can at least be in some competitive situations, even if ultimately deep down you're like, we need to lose because that top eight pick and in an absolutely loaded 2026 draft is too valuable to lose. Like, that would be bad. And now, if the Wizards, if all of a sudden Bilal turns into a superstar this year and it's like, oh crap, we won 35 games because Bilal Coulibaly made third team all NBA, well, then you deal with that because, like, well, now you've got a third team all NBA player. I'm not predicting that is going to happen at all. I think Bilal is a fine player and could become a good borderline all-star player. But it is, you know, to think he's going to become a superstar, I think, is rich, certainly now. So that, I think those names are great. Like a guy like Kevon Looney, who can come in, play, maybe he starts, but he's ultimately playing like 20 minutes a night, but can help you rebound, can help organize things defensively, is a veteran, can teach Alex Saar a lot, tricks of the trade, in many ways that Jonas Valanciunas did last year. And then at the trade deadline, you go, hey man, we're going to go send you to contender. That contender is going to send us a first round pick, because they're a contender and they don't really care about their picks. Or they send you whatever. If you can, especially if you can help them get off a bad contract. Now you're talking about like, can I really get a good first round pick in return? You send me a bad contract that's got some bad future money on it, but now that we've created all that cap space, we don't really care as long as the guy's not a bad guy. So you get a good human on a bad contract, then you're in good shape. And if he winds up expiring and you have cap space to play with next year, like, that's okay too. But I think those are the right kinds of people to be looking for, is the bigs. And like you said, those guys, Looney, Et cetera, on the market. But I also think like Vucevic is a guy who's really intriguing. He's a second round pick, but like that kid can play.
Yeah.
And so what does he develop into this year? And I think a guy like Looney, for instance, who's going to play 20 minutes, means you still have 20 minutes that Vucevic can play a night, and that allows for him to develop as well.
Absolutely. And you don't rarely for a Wizards team, you don't get production out of a second round pick. I had to go all the way back. I figured it out. The last second round pick I think we've seen get this kind of production and effectiveness out of Washington was Tomas Satoransky. I think he was taken in the second round in 2012, I believe. So Vucevic is a guy that's definitely intriguing to me. I need to see a lot more of him because I think in times where he has gotten his moments on the floor here in DC, he has shined in a way. And I know it's tough to evaluate on a team that's just losing so many games. But you bring up a great point where you want to be competitive. You want to be fierce in the way you're playing, but ultimately the results still ending up in losses. You don't want to be getting blown out by 30 every single game. And I think that's something we saw a little bit of last year, kind of towards the midway point of the year. The Wizards were just losing. I can't remember how long that losing streak
they went on. They had two 16-game losing streaks.
Yeah, so unbelievably bad basketball, not competitive. But then down the stretch, the basketball got competitive, and everyone, of course, is complaining, saying that they're going to ruin their tank. Bob Carrington, it's a game winner in the final game.
Right.
But I enjoy seeing the players develop. So it's a little bit polarizing to me because if all of your guys in year number two here in Bub, Keyshawn, and Sar make such a big leap in this second year where they're actually winning a lot more games than you anticipated, it's going to be a little bit tough to know how to feel as a fan because I don't think the Wizards can afford to give up that first-round draft pick next year. But at the same time, if you're developing guys who are going to become your blue-chip players here in D.C., all-star talent, then that's one thing to think about. And Bub Carrington, I mean, it's practically sink or swim for him right now. With the departure of Jordan Poole, he's really got the keys to be the point guard of this Wizards team in the future. Can he get to the rim better? Can he get to the free throw line better this year? That's something that remains to be seen if he can be really a true point here. And with Trey Johnson coming in as your true shooting guard, he's going to be a guy who's going to shoot the three ball really well for this Wizards team. This opens the door for Bub to play make, and I'm really excited to see what he's able to do here in year number two.
No doubt. I think Riley is a guy that's going to play on the ball quite a bit. They said they like that a lot. He didn't play a ton on it last year at Illinois, but at points he did and did well in that role. And I think this is another upside of the Jordan Poole, CJ McCollum switch is like CJ can play on the ball. If things get to be a nightmare and like it's just not working, they can put CJ McCollum on the ball and just be like, hey man, we need your veteran. Like, we need you to steer the ship and not crash. We know it's not going to be the world's fastest ship, but like, please just don't crash. We're crashing too much. Turnovers got out of control, et cetera, right? Where Jordan still had a little bit more of a hectic play style, but he needed to be on the ball. CJ is much more comfortable off the ball. And so Bub can have the ball in his hands. Riley can have the ball in his hands with a really solid two guard, like professional. And if like those guys get minutes and the other guard on the floor is CJ McCollum or Chris Middleton, like talk about pros that you can play with that are like really, really good to help those guys develop. I think that the backcourt situation is great. Another name to watch for the frontcourt, Larry Nance Jr. is a guy that really, really well respected around the league. And I think also fits their style because he's a get out and run, like lob catching type of threat. So he's a name that I think I would throw into that center mix as well. All right, when we get back, let's take a wider look at free agency around the NBA. Give you a couple names to watch as we're now just 45 minutes away from free agency opening here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. More Wizards at 5:30, specifically chats with the newest Wizards. I was at the intro press conference on Saturday at the Cisco building at the Wharf. Had a chance to talk to both Will Riley and Trey Johnson. Those conversations at 5:30 here on the Hoffman Show. Right now, though, a couple of other things to follow for the NBA's free agency. And there's two names that I can't get out of my head. And they're very different in terms of where they are in their careers. Ben is Ben Schrober in for Ant producing today. And in fact, Ben's in with us all week while Anthony is gallivanting around Paris pretending his name is Antoine. No, really. He's pretending his name is Antoine. Anyway, the point is, and he'll be in Barcelona later this week. We'll see if his name changes when he gets to Barcelona. Does he go to something more Spanish? TBD. Anyway, the point is that I think the most impactful player who might get moved, barring like a Giannis, like explosion, like out of nowhere something happens, a Jaylen Brown, and that wouldn't be totally out of nowhere. Derek White, same thing in Boston. But like, I think there's a pretty good chance Jonathan Kuminga gets moved. And where he goes is super interesting. The other one is LeBron James. And like, obviously, Jonathan Kuminga, LeBron James, congrats to Jonathan Kuminga that you've somehow found yourself in the same sentence as LeBron James. But the verbiage out of LeBron's camp over the weekend's pretty interesting. Ben, did you see the statements as he opted into his deal with the Lakers? So he had a $52 million player option, and he opted in, but his agent, Rich Paul, was basically like, we're watching what the Lakers are doing. And like, we're in good communication with them. We understand that they now have perhaps a different timeline because they have Luka Doncic. And like, there's very, like, but we want to compete for championships. We realize LeBron doesn't have a lot left. Like, I don't know what to make of that. But to me, it's like, hey, I'm going to opt in. I'm going to make sure I get my $52 million. But I'm not 1,000% that I want to be here, depending on what my options are and what you guys do over the next couple of weeks or the next week here.
It's interesting because a couple of years back, I could have never imagined a possibility where LeBron would actually finish his career elsewhere. Just given how old he is already, he's going to be the first NBA player to play 23 years. Does he get to 24? He played with Bronny last year to accomplish that feat. And now we're talking about the possibility of LeBron actually playing somewhere else because he wants to compete for another championship. And for me, somebody that's a LeBron supporter, I'd love to see LeBron win again. I'm actually all for this because I don't see the Lakers winning a championship with the current group in place right now. And I'm not sure what they're going to do here in free agency or how the offseason is going to transpire for Los Angeles. I just don't know enough about what's going on behind the scenes over there. But if LeBron gets another chance to really be a legitimate second or third option somewhere else where he doesn't have to carry as much of the weight, I know he brought Luka Doncic in to be a scorer, but he can't play defense. And Luka got exposed in that postseason for being a liability on defense.
Yes, but he was also banged up, and like, I'm not going to concern myself too much with Luka's defense. Like, that's everyone else can play defense. Luka, you go be Luka, and we can go to the finals. We proved that 2 years ago.
They weren't competitive though. Which
They didn't have, you know, if they had not backed out of the Mark Williams deal, that probably looks a little different. But
that
also, he and LeBron were banged up, and the other, like, your other wing can't be Rui Hachimura. And, like, Rui's done very well for himself in L.A. I don't want to come back like I was a bit of a Rui hater in the eyes of many people. But, like, Rui is what he is. Rui's a very solid offensive player who will be up and down. He has had a tendency with the Lakers to rise in big moments, and that's awesome. I love that Rui Hachimura has really continued to develop in his post-Wizards era. But that dude ain't playing defense. Like, the problem is not that Luka doesn't play defense. The problem is that Rui Hachimura doesn't play defense. Luka is good enough offensively that he can do not whatever he wants, but, like, the Luka defense thing is a non-starter for a conversation for me. But I also get it that, like, if Luka's going to be that guy, pairing him with LeBron is a lot of minutes from wing players that are not going to be high-level defensive minutes because LeBron just can't do that every night anymore because he's 40.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think there's been too much of an onus put on LeBron for his teams not succeeding in the playoffs when he is literally 40 years old, playing in the NBA for 20 years. He still has expectations like he is 31 years old as opposed to 40, which has always been crazy to me. But if he does go elsewhere in the trade market, I know obviously he opts into his contract. So if he is moved at some point, I'd be very intrigued to see who'd be interested in bringing LeBron and what it would cost to bring in LeBron at this point.
That's the thing that I can't figure out is who's the LeBron team? And I think part of this is who would LeBron actually want to play? Like, is LeBron just like, I want to go somewhere where I can win? Like, and if that's the case, would LeBron go to the Pistons? Right? Detroit is ripe in first of all, it's got to be in the East, right? Unless we're doing LeBron and KD together in Houston. Like, it's got to be in the East, or I guess if he went to, like, a Denver, but Denver needs more defense. Like, that's what they need. They don't need another offensive hub. They don't need LeBron, which is great. What a sentence. We've gotten to a point where it's like, hey, they don't need LeBron. There was a point where everybody needed LeBron. But, like, with what they have, they don't need LeBron. Does he not want to leave L.A., and can somehow he and the Clippers figure something out? Would he even want to do that and play for Ballmer? Would he reconsider the Steph thing and Golden State? They poked around last year, but I think with their cap situation, it's probably not possible. So if you're looking for a cheap opportunity to make the finals, quote-unquote cheap, you're looking at the East. Okay, so Boston has no way to do this, and I don't think LeBron, if you can't go from Lakers to Celtics, and he's got a long history with Celtics, I think that's out. The team that is most obvious from like a, hey, this doesn't adjust your legacy, is you go home to Cleveland and you give it one more shot with the Cavs. And you get to retire in Cleveland. And what a story that would be if he can be the final piece on a 64-win Cavs team last year. I don't know what the Cavs can trade and how they make the cap stuff work, but if he can maneuver his way to Cleveland, that to me seems like the biggest no-brainer. The other teams, Detroit, would a Milwaukee thing be... Like, with him and Giannis, like, can you work out a LeBron for Brook Lopez swap? And is that even worth it for Milwaukee for a year? Miami, like, that ended poorly. I don't think that's happening. The Hawks, like, I love what the Hawks have done this offseason. Could they somehow, without giving up any of their young defensive pieces, get LeBron? Like, would Chicago do something? Who knows what Chicago's doing at any point? Like with Masai in Toronto, I feel more like that would be possible. It's just, I just don't know where it is. I mean, would he try Philly and see if like, hey, can me and Joel Embiid both stay healthy at our current stages? It feels like something could happen. But I don't know who's willing to do it. And what I think to your point too, like what's the cost? Does LeBron cost you a first round pick at this point? Does LeBron James also somehow not cost you a first round pick? Do the Lakers, because his contract is so big, have to give up something?
Do teams overvalue LeBron James because of who he is and not really what he is at this point in his career?
But he still averaged like 25, 8, and 8 last year.
He's still great.
He's still an all-NBA player.
He still is. I just wonder, like, what he'll command. I have no concept of what it'll cost trade for LeBron and who would be interested in him. I mean, certainly teams will be interested in having LeBron James on their team. But I just don't know off the top of my head right now who would make the most sense for. I think you're right about the East, though, because that's going to be the easiest place for him to have another chance of winning.
Yeah, considering the injuries in the Eastern Conference, it just seems like a no-brainer. If I can real quick, let me see if I can try to maneuver a trade real quick. Cleveland to me is like, from a narrative standpoint, but also a practical basketball standpoint, that seems like the only place. But right now, oh God, the Cavs are a second apron team, meaning they can't aggregate salaries and trades, meaning they literally cannot trade for LeBron James because they would have to, God, all of the, I mean, DeAndre Hunter and Jared Allen, that gets you close to trade to Cavaliers. That gets you, you're still $10 million short. Like, that's the crazy thing, is unless you figure out a way to get out of, I mean, can Max Strus go in this deal too? Sure. Unless you can find a way to get out of the second apron, you can't aggregate salary. And so it has to be dollar for dollar. So basically you have to trade player for player that with the salaries being exactly equal. And there's just not a situation, I think, where that can work for Cleveland. So I don't know where it is, but it's something I'm watching. And then Kuminga obviously is a good young player, is interesting too. And, you know, I always wonder too, like, can the Wizards try to get involved as a dumping ground for something? But that gets real complicated too. All right, when we get back, speaking of Wizards, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, they're two first-round picks. I talked to both this weekend. You'll hear those conversations next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're monitoring NBA free agency, also reacting to the NFL news of the day, the big Steelers-Dolphins trade. Free agency starts at 6 p.m. We'll have a full recap of the first flurry of moves after we talk to Andrew Filippone at 6, Pony from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So got both stories covered for you here on the Hoffman Show. Right now, though, how about a chat with the newest Wizards? Let's start off with my chat with Trey Johnson. We also have a quick chat with Will Riley, both first round picks. I was able to catch up with them at their introductory press conferences on Saturday. Here's my chat with Trey first.
With Trey Johnson on the Hoffman Show. Trey, it feels like you and Will have a really good connection. The way he's kind of wired, the way you're wired, seem to be pretty similar. Obviously, you guys met, as has been discussed at length during the draft process. So when your name is called by Washington the other night, you know that, like, that's your general manager. The other people you met here, the people that are going to be your colleagues and who you work with, what's going through your mind and how excited were you?
Great to be selected by this organization, most definitely. It's a blessing. And also, just especially coming from my visit down here, it was the last team I visited, and it was by far the best place I visited, I would say, just from the front office and just how family-oriented it was. It didn't feel like any other place. So when I heard my name being called at 6 to Washington, it was actually great. Actually, everybody doesn't get to go to a place that they want to go to, so I feel like it was great to be able to go to a place that I wanted to be.
What was it that you, like, on that visit, you noticed that was different about here and the way they were doing things versus the way that other teams were doing it?
I just say, like, they took me out to go do an activity on my visit, like, before I even worked out or anything like that. Will let me meet his family while I was there on my visit, so I feel like it was really family-oriented. I didn't do anything like that anywhere else. It was mainly about basketball, and he had different people talking to me from different branches of his staff, I would say, and it wasn't – everybody was talking about basketball. Some groups were talking about personal things and talking about mental health and different stuff like that, so I feel like it's more than just about a basketball place here, I would say.
And then you do eventually get to the workout and the basketball portion. What was that experience like with BK and the staff?
Oh, it was great. Topper put me through a great workout, I would say, and that's probably my best workout of the four teams I worked out for. I would say that also helped me get picked at 6, I would say. But yeah, it was a great workout. It was tiring and just mentally had to push myself, I would say.
Just generally, what's that experience like? So we're talking to Trey Johnson here on the Hoffman Show. Like, what's that experience like? I do a lot with the NFL draft as well, and, like, looking at the schedule those guys get, like, it's a ton of travel. You're having to do all these workouts. You're getting poked. You're getting prodded mentally, sometimes physically, if there's medical stuff that's happening. So, like, what's that experience like to know, like, oh, this workout's really, really important for my future, and I'm exhausted because this is my 8th city in whatever number of days?
I knew it was very important because they had the 6th pick. That was the lowest that team I worked out for, I would say. And I just knew in the back of my mind that it had to be a good workout for me, just because I wasn't working out for nobody else after 6, so it could be up and down if I didn't get picked there.
With Trey Johnson again here on the Hoffman Show. Last year, leading scorer in the SEC, it was considered the best conference in the country. There's so many great players, including a bunch of guys that got drafted with you on Wednesday night. To have that level of production in that conference, like, when did you have the confidence to know, like, oh, I can really produce here. I can really do this at this level right now?
Am I in college or?
Yeah, in college. We're like, when in the season last year, we were like, oh, this is no fluke. Like, I can really score like this in the SEC.
Kind of just throughout practice. Pushing myself through our practice, really just preparing myself mentally for what the worst could be. I say from my defensive standpoint, where I could be sane. And then just my consistency in my workouts, I would say, that really helped me. And then just getting out there on the court, it kind of just felt normal.
And then some of our colleagues have been able to talk to your high school coach as well, and he talked about the thing that Will said at the podium, where it's like, oh, you're doing workouts early before a team workout, which then there's another team workout. What drove you early on to be like that, to have that work ethic? And, like, this may sound like a silly question, but, like, hard work is one thing. Knowing what to work on is a different. How did you know what you needed to do?
Knowing what I needed to do is just, I've been doing it all my life, especially with my father. And so that me knowing what I needed to do wasn't too hard, I would say. Also because he's been there and helped me out. And then just me knowing the shots that I needed to work on, it was the same shots that I was getting in practice, same shots I was going to get in the game. But me wanting to work and me wanting to work out before practice, stuff like that, I was doing that since I was a kid, at a young kid, young age.
Like how young are we talking?
Probably like younger than 10. Younger than 10, before like team practice, me and my dad would get up shots to work out before. Sometimes we work out after as well. So I just kind of had that in the back of my mind, and I know that it works most definitely. So that's what I continue to stay with, I would say.
When's the last time you and your pops played one-on-one?
When I was in like fifth grade.
And that, like, what happened? Was that you beat him once and that's it? That was it?
Nah, he beat me once and that was it.
You wouldn't compete against him anymore. That was it?
Nah, he don't want to play no more.
I mean, you're in the NBA now, so that's, you know, that's fair to him.
I guess so. I guess that's fair.
All right. What are you looking forward to about the city, about D.C., beyond the basketball court?
Just seeing the area, meeting different people, and just going to different museums, I would say. That's one thing I was told that's great about D.C. is the different museums and different history about it. So it's most definitely exploring that.
Trey Johnson, congratulations again. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
I got to say, it was the look on his face when I was like, yeah, man, like, you're an NBA player now. I guess I wouldn't blame your dad if he doesn't want to play one-on-one. That was a funny look where he's like, oh, yeah, I really am in the NBA. So is Will Riley, who the Wizards took in the 20s after trading back from 18. Chatted with Will real quick as well, and here's that chat.
With Will Riley here on the Hoffman Show. Will, first of all, congratulations. Welcome to D.C. Second of all, I'd like to start with your parents, both athletes. What do you think you got athletically from mom, the hockey player, right? And then dad, the track athlete?
I think I got the competitive spirit out of both of them. I'm super competitive and hardworking, so I think it translates.
What about specifically from hockey? Like, from your mom? Like, do you have, like, the hockey player mentality, that whole deal? Like, do you feel like you got that from her?
Yeah, definitely. She's one of the most competitive people I know, so I definitely got that out of her.
Is that something you realized as a kid? Like, were board games borderline violent? Like, tell me about the competitiveness in your house growing up.
Yeah, I mean, most of my family's competitive, but her in specific, we used to go at it growing up at, like, family events, playing ping pong, board games. So her in specific, yeah, we would get really competitive.
And then you're also the youngest of four, right? Three older sisters. Yeah. What was it like being the baby of the family with three older sisters?
I mean, I got spoiled, so it was good having three older sisters and just learning so much from them about how to treat people and everything. They taught me a lot. It was really important.
So you have the background we just mentioned with your parents. You played multiple sports growing up. When did you lock in on basketball, and why did you lock in on basketball?
I'd say I really locked in on basketball in the ninth grade. That's when I really started to take it serious. It was the only sport I was playing. And, yeah, I moved to a school called Southwest, not too far from where I'm from, and that's when I really took it serious.
What was it about basketball that was the one for you?
Because out of all the sports, I just found myself playing it the most, found myself wanting to play it the most, and I felt like it was the most important thing to me at the time.
Chris Miller talked in your intro presser about the growth spurt that you had. So, like, what was your game like before the growth spurt? You're a 5'9 guy, probably a guard. Now, obviously, you're still a guard, but a lot taller.
Yeah, I felt like it was important for me, especially living in Canada. If you're a taller guy, if you're anywhere above 6 foot, 6'1", you're going to play center. So it was the benefit of the doubt for me, because if I would have been that tall, who knows what I would have been like now. You know what I mean?
For sure. And then how have you, since you've grown into the size you are now, like, how have you learned how to use your length to your advantage, but also make sure that, like, the handle stays tight, all the things that, you know, sometimes get big guards in trouble?
I feel like it allows me to be able to get my shot off better, get to my spots easier, and just rise up above players. So I use that to my advantage, and I just keep my guard still because I've been doing it my whole life.
Are there any specific, you got Marcus Smart, I know it's not official yet, I don't know how much you can talk about CJ McCollum, but I'll throw his name in there, CJ, Marcus, Chris Middleton, some of these vets that are going to be around. Is there anybody in particular that you're looking forward to picking that guy's brain?
I mean, all of them. They all have different things that they dealt with. So I'm super excited to talk to all of them and gain different things from each and every one of them.
And then last but not least, what have you been able to see so far of D.C., and what are some of the things that you really want to see here in D.C.?
Haven't really toured it too much.
Yeah. I mean, you've only been here for like 24 hours, so that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm just super excited to see all the history behind the city. I heard there's a lot, so just going to check it out.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Welcome to D.C., and we'll be seeing you around.
Thank you.
All right, that's Will Riley. Before that, Trey Johnson, if you're tuning in very late and you missed any of it, just search The Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can check those out on demand on your schedule. Still coming at 6 o'clock, we have the latest on the other non-NBA free agency top story of the day, the Pittsburgh Steelers trade. Tell you about that if you haven't heard about it in a moment and what's trending. And then we will get you caught up as NBA free agency starts in 18 minutes here on the Team 980. All right, that Steelers trade is the rare player-for-player trade in the NBA. Or excuse me, in the NFL. Dolphins and Steelers swap Jalen Ramsey and Minkah Fitzpatrick. Jonnu Smith is also going to Pittsburgh in the trade. Swap of draft picks as well. And that has a lot of teams calling Pittsburgh about TJ Watt. We'll get the latest from Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh coming up in just a few minutes. Also, here's the latest NBA kind of news as we head towards free agency officially opening at 6 o'clock. Players can still re-sign with their teams, and a couple of players have. Nicholas Batum will sign a two-year deal to stay with the Clippers. Dayron Sharp, two-year deal to stay with the Nets. Joe Ingles, one-year deal to return to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Also, the Knicks, I would assume having a coach is nice for free agency. They've talked to Mike Brown for a second time, and he's emerged as a, quote, strong candidate, sources tell ESPN's Shams Charania. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. Coming up in just a few minutes, it is NBA free agency getting underway. There will likely be a flurry of moves right at 6 o'clock. Shams Charania's got the tweets already in the draft because we all know that nobody actually waits for 6 o'clock. There's been plenty of quote-unquote illegal tampering happening the last couple of days, but everybody does it. It's fine as long as nothing is too out of pocket. And I think considering the caliber of free agents, all due respect to everyone in the league who's a free agent, I think a lot of stuff might happen fairly quickly. So assuming that does, we'll let that first flurry in the first 15 minutes happen, and then we will start reacting to it at 6:15 because about 4 minutes ago, my guy Andrew Filippone had his show end because he does afternoons in Pittsburgh, so we needed to wait for him to get off the air. And so we will talk about the Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jalen Ramsey swap with Pony and kind of what the heck are the Steelers doing coming up at 6 p.m. Right now, though, the other big story that's floating out in the world of sports today is the WNBA announced that they will have not one, not two, but three more expansion teams coming, including in 2030, Philadelphia. And the reason I highlight Philadelphia, not just because that is the geographically closest team, but because Josh Harris is the owner there. All three teams will, like the Wizards are with the Mystics, be owned or co-owned by the current NBA owner. So in Philadelphia, the Sixers will be the brother team, if you will, adding a sister team to Josh Harris's portfolio. So now, on top of the Commanders, on top of the New Jersey Devils and the Sixers and the English Premier League team that he owns and all the other things that Josh Harris does, he will also have a WNBA team under his purview. And that's really exciting for the league. Philadelphia is a great sports town. It is a great women's sports town specifically. And it has not had the chance to have a women's sports professional team in a long, long, long time. I do believe back in the day they had a women's soccer team in one of the leagues that did not survive. But in the NWSL period of things, and especially since the NWSL turned into the behemoth that it has become, a genuine money-making enterprise that is successful, that has TV distribution, that is a real, like, bona fide, big-time league, Philadelphia has not been a part of it, but has always been rumored in expansion talks. Detroit, which has a long WNBA history, and Cleveland are the other two teams. Cleveland has been hankering for a team and has been fairly supportive of various women's sports efforts over the years. Detroit is interesting because they had a WNBA team. The Detroit Shock was very, very good, in fact, back in the day. But this was kind of in a more struggle period of WNBA history. The investment was not there. And when you don't invest in things, you can't get any return on investment. And so despite the fact that Detroit is I think, well built to support a WNBA team, it is going to get one now and hasn't had one because the first time they had a team, they folded. This is not a new thing for the WNBA, by the way. Portland had a team very, very briefly, and ultimately they pulled that team. They are now going back to Portland. So the league is currently 12, or sorry, no, it's currently 13 with Golden State. It was 12 coming into the season. 13, Golden State now added. The Valkyrie are selling out Chase Center every single night, and they're doing it without any real stars. It is one of the most bizarre rosters in the league. It is probably the I've never heard of her roster in the league. It's a lot of international players. They were hoping to get a big free agent in the offseason. I think, namely, they were hoping that Kelsey Plum would sign there. And Kelsey chose L.A. in kind of a sign-and-trade deal where Jewel Lloyd went from Seattle to Las Vegas. Kelsey went over to L.A. and then Moore went back to Seattle. Actually, what really went to Seattle was the number two pick, which turned into Dominique Malunga, the 19-year-old French phenom. So, you know, Golden State was hoping to get involved in that. They ultimately could not. They have made do and have actually played very, very good basketball this year. Like, so I thought they were going to be terrible, which, like, fine. They're an expansion team. They're not supposed to be good. But they're right around 500, as the Mystics have surprisingly been, with the youngest roster in league history. And I think this is, like, obviously, it's a tremendously exciting time for the league. But it's also a terrifying time for the league because you have to get this stuff right. And this much expansion this quickly, I think, is challenging because how do you fill these rosters? There is clearly enough talent to go around. In fact, today there was a kind of a surprising trade. Nelissa Smith, who's a former top five pick, got traded. She was with the Fever for the start of her career. She signed in Dallas in the offseason and got traded today to the Las Vegas Aces. The Aces then in turn cut Elizabeth Kitley, the former Virginia Tech star and teammate of Georgia Amore, who's now, of course, with the Mystics, missing the season with a torn ACL. But, like, Elizabeth Kitley is not a good, like, she's not, it's not like, oh my God, how could they cut Elizabeth Kitley? But, like, she's a WNBA player. And there's plenty of other players like that that are, like, genuinely good enough to be one of the bottom 30 players in the WNBA that are kind of on that level, probably not really rotation players, or maybe could be back-end rotation players, but they're out of the league and don't have an opportunity because there aren't enough roster spots. It's a small roster league on top of being a small league. But my concern is, as these teams expand, is there enough top-end talent? And more so than that, can they find a way to make sure that if there's teams that are being built up, like if you are the Washington Mystics and you have all of this young talent, are you just going to lose somebody in an expansion draft? Because that feels dirty. That feels crappy to me. I don't want to see an Aaliyah Edwards, a Shakira Austin, a Sonia Citron, a Kiki Ariafin, Georgia Amore. They have three picks next year, I believe, as well. Two or three picks next year. In the first round, whoever those picks. I don't want the Mystics to have to make those kinds of tough decisions every single year from 2026 to 27, 28, 29, 30 as these new teams come in year after year. So I don't know how you avoid that unless you just say there's no expansion draft. We're not doing one. And teams can sign free agents. We'll give you better draft picks, you know, however they want to do that. In the past, they have given the expansion teams the first pick outside of the lottery. So maybe you want to give the expansion team lottery odds and add them to the lottery. I think that's an interesting idea as a chance to get a star. Obviously, they will have cap space because they will have a literal blank roster. But making sure you manage the roster mechanics of this. And this is something, by the way, the great thing about this is the players should have a say here. The players are in the middle of CBA negotiations, and the CBA is going to be completely different because players are pretty dug in on certain things. The money is so different now than the last time they signed a CBA. And so, and I think WNBA players, more so than even other players in other leagues, in part because they're not paid as much, care about the control of their own lives in a way that if you're an NBA player, it's like, what am I going to do? I'm making $13 million as a eighth guy on a roster. If I get traded, I get traded. I'm getting paid a lot of money. If you're a W player making six figures and not even like high six figures, your number starts with a one, just to get traded in the middle of the season without any consent, like there's going to probably be some pushback from the PA on that. Or, hey, I signed to play here. I signed a multi-year deal and now I'm just in the expansion draft. Like, what the hell is that? So that's something to watch for. But ultimately, like, this is the main point is, and I feel like I just did a bad job because I didn't celebrate this. This is another sign of how healthy the league is. This is a fantastic thing. They picked great markets. These ownership groups, I think, are going to be all in. And the league is in such a good spot that I think the investment and the competitive level is going to be really high. And I'm excited to see this league continue to grow and be what it should be, which is a premier sports league in America. And in many ways, it already is. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Andrew Filippone joins us, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, to talk about today's big NFL trade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.